Hi, besties, and welcome to Semi-Qualified Queens,
a show where we talk about all things drag because we are semi-qualified to speak on it.
I'm Juicebox.
And I'm Mwah! Cynthia Kiss.
And welcome to Semi-Qualified Queens. And we are still doing our interview series. Last week we had Molly Poppins from Australia. That was She was popping. That was super fun. And then this week we are going a little bit, we're still staying within the drag realm, but this week we're kind of touching on designers. So we are talking to very, very well-known Canadian, Vancouver-based designer, Evan Clayton.
Yes. No, we're so excited. But before we dive in, we're narcissists and we have to talk about ourselves for a second. Juice, how the hell have you been?
I'm really good. I'm super, super good. Mr. Box right now is on a little road trip. So it is just me at home. I'm in between gigs. So I've just been like, I've been Susie Homemaker. I've been going to the gym. I've been cleaning, cooking, and doing laundry and taking care of my dog. Like, just, it just feels like that's all I do.
Domestic bliss.
Domestic bliss. I'm trying to get my fiber intake under, you know.
Ooh.
I feel like I know it's just like fiber intake is just a crazy, crazy beast, but I'm feeling okay today. How are you?
I'm good. I just got back from Drag Fest in the UK. I'm trying to fight jet lag with exercise. So like just kind of keeping my body moving. There were some weird long travel days at the end of the trip where I was like in a car for 11 hours. Then I was in a plane for like 13. So my body was just like, we need to move. So I've been doing that. So I kind of get the domestic bliss as well, making lots of smoothies and cooking the things you can't do on the road, right? You start to appreciate it. And then the heart grows fonder, including my partner. It was so nice just to get to be back home with him, which is so sweet.
I find that my first home-cooked meal after being gone for like an extended period of time just tastes so good.
Yes.
Because it's something that you made. It's the flavors you're kind of more, that feel more like home, and like it's on your plate. It's in your room. It's a, just feels so, everything about it is a sensory overload. It just makes me so happy.
And you know what was wild? I don't know if it's like, I think our white sauces taste different than they do in the UK. So things like mayo, like a chipotle or like a Caesar dressing, they just hit a little different in the UK. Not better nor worse, just wasn't used to it. So when I had my first Caesar salad back home, I was like, that was the moment. I was like, oh my God, I'm back home. It was so sweet. And the smoothies. I'm getting so good at making smoothies. I feel like you'd be proud of me.
What's your smoothie recipe? Tell me.
Banana, almond butter, chia seeds, strawberries, vegan whey, vanilla protein, orange juice. What else are we throwing in there? Some cinnamon.
Orange juice.
A splash.
Oh my God. This is a roller coaster of flavors. This is not where I thought it was going. Oh my God.
It tastes like a breakfast meal. Like it's got the granola like moments in there and then the vanilla. It's really, really yummy. I'm loving
cinnamon.
It.
Cinnamon. Orange juice.
Yeah.
And the only fruit is a banana.
And strawberries.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And then and a little bit of almond butter. I love an almond butter. That's fabulous.
It kind of tastes like a breakfast muffin, if you will.
Like a PB. It's giving me very peanut butter and jelly.
But funny enough, because it's almond butter, not peanut butter, it's not too nutty flavored. It's almost more just like earthy or nutty, creamy. And so there's enough going on. It tastes like a muffin. It's so good. Post-workout.
Liquid muffin. The more you say muffin, the least appetizing it sounds, because it just sounds like a liquefied muffin. But I do understand where you're coming from.
I'm the losing cinnamon. You with muffin.
Yeah. The cinnamon is really what's going on. Okay, so here's mine. It's going to sound like hot garbage next to yours. Mine is strictly like fuel, so mine is banana, handful of frozen strawberries, almond or oat milk, whatever I've got in the fridge, right? And then we have one scoop flaxseed.
Okay.
One scoop all natural peanut butter.
Cute.
One heaping scoop of Greek yogurt, either unflavored or flavored. Right now I have a cherry flavor because I want a little sweetness in my life. And then a scoop of vanilla New Zealand whey protein.
Amazing. I also forgot the yogurt in mine. I put yogurt in mine too.
There we go. It's kind of doesn't taste great. It's kind of just bland. And you just rip it back, go to the gym.
Rip her back.
Chug it, go to the gym, burp it up on your run. It's great.
Okay. Well, let's drink our imaginary smoothies. glug, 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 glug. And let's dive into this interview with Evan Clayton.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, cute. Let's go. Dialing Evan Clayton. Beep, boop, beep, 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 beep. All right. Designing and creating looks for pop culture icons like Doja Cat, Carly Rae Jepsen, Nikita Dragon, and drag queen royalty like Naomi Smalls, Shea Coulee, and your fabulous podcast hosts, please welcome to Semi-Qualified Queens, the ever-talented Evan Clayton.
Hi, SQ cuties.
Hi.
Oh. Oh my God, thank you for coming on the show.
I'm so excited.
This is literally so overdue. And you listen to the episodes, right? Are you loving the interview series?
I love the interview series. I like it's a nice break from the episode series because... I don't know, like Drag Race, it's a lot.
So. It's a lot.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
No, Juice and I come a bit more alive because we get to pick your brain. It's just, I think it's fun for everyone. Keep it a little fresh. Mm-hmm. So I want to dive in right away because you have such a long-standing relationship with drag queens. Can you describe this to our SQ cuties, your relationship with drag queens? Go.
Yeah. So I started my line in 2013. And I think my first show that I did with drag acts in it was like the second or third one in 2014. And that was just because, you know, Drag Race was starting to ramp up in popularity, obviously not to the point where it is today. But I'd always been fascinated with drag. I'd been watching the show since season one. And that was a huge part of my social life and my outside of work time was going to drag shows and all my friends were drag artists and it didn't feel right for me to take inspiration from a community without also platforming that community with the platform that I was given in fashion. And it made sense to me. So my first show was starring Jane Smoker, Valen Vile, and Thanks Jem. And we had a blast and I just kept going and drag kept popping up in my shows. I kept dressing drag artists. I feel like I did a lot of work, especially with, you know, those early iterations of Brat Pack.
So, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And now it's become pretty much my full-time gig, just doing drag all the time.
It's so inspiring. I love how you did mention, you know, the evolution of drag is almost an industry. And I think you've been a beneficiary of that, right? It's like, it's been absolutely. Your meal ticket, right? Like, it's been all of our meal ticket. It's kind of wild to have known each other for almost, what is it, over like 6 years now since I moved to BC. You've always been such a diligent, hardworking designer in the community. I feel like you've always treated queens like stars before we were stars. Does that make sense?
Because you are stars.
See, look at you go. Like, literally, you just have always seen the light that we, like, how we shine, and you want to dress that. And that's, to me, I think I wanted the listeners to hear that because it's so special and dear to our hearts. So, yeah, we're so happy to have you on our Drag Queen podcast.
So you've dressed a lot of pop icons. We mentioned we are already kind of like name dropped like Doja Cat, Carly Rae Jepsen, Ali X. In terms of these music acts, how do you approach it? Like, do they approach you? Do you approach them? Like, how does this kind of come to be?
It's honestly a mix of both. And it really depends on, honestly, the size of the act. Like, obviously, Doja Cat did not jump into my DMs and say, hey, babe. I want to look. So me working with Doja Cat was quite a long series of events leading up to me getting that gig. Whereas me dressing someone like Ali X, that was me being a big fan of her music. Like Super Sunset, honestly, is one of those albums that I could listen to over and over again because it takes me back to a really difficult time in my life and it really helped me through that time. And for her, I was like, she is promoting Super Sunset. I want to be on this album cycle in some way. And so I emailed her stylist being like, this is my lookbook. This is what I can do. Please. He said yes. Yeah.
That's so epic. That's wild. So do you find you're often working in tandem with like their creative director or stylist? Like at that point when you're that big of a super like pop star, I would imagine you work with someone like a stylist, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Like I'm very lucky that, you know, I personally got to style Ali X specifically. Cool. But that's really the only example of that. Whereas, you know, all of my work with Carly Rae Jepsen, my work with Doja Cat, that was definitely through a creative team. So with Doja, I worked with Brett Allen Nelson. And with Carly, I worked with Haley Atkin. Both are incredible stylists. And yeah, lots of emails.
Is it like a collaborative thing? Yeah, I love an email. Is it like a collaborative thing though, or do they kind of tell you what they want and you have to work within those? Is it like working with Disney where it's like there's not a lot of wiggle room, or can you kind of be like, here's what I want and what would look amazing, and they're like, I love that, over 50 emails?
It's both. I feel like my answers are very non-committal, because it is both. Like, some it depends on the stylist, it depends on the team. With Brett, he gave me a brief. He was like, this is going to be for the say-so video. If we don't use it for the say-so video, she'll wear it on tour, which is what ended up happening. So I got the brief for the video, and he said, go nuts, design whatever you want, so inspired cool. by this brief. And then with Carly Rae, Haley sent me a pitch deck for her summer tour that had like Pantone colors. It was very specific. Sending me inspiration from my own line, which was really flattering, saying, you know, these are specific pieces that we want, and if you don't have them, please riff off of them for custom moments. So it's definitely, you know, it depends on the creative, it depends on the team, and I am very happy to work either way. And I think a lot of that comes to working on Queens for Drag Race, because I do get that mix of, I want one very specific thing from you, or like, I don't know what the fuck to wear. Do what you want. So
I was actually thinking that as you were describing working with these music acts, it would totally be the same as Queens, because I know, and Juice, you probably feel this too, sometimes you have the vision in your mind's eye where you're like, I need this executed exactly like this, and you can collaborate with the designer. Or there's the other way to go about it, where the designer might come with the concept on the table. Do you have a preference, Evan?
I'm always going to prefer, you know, conceptualizing start to finish.
Of course. But,
you know, if that was the only way I wanted to work, I wouldn't work that much.
So. Gotta keep the lights on, keep the girlies happy.
Especially queens.
Oh my god, totally. Yeah, who's more specific, a drag queen or like a pop act?
Oh, a drag queen.
I knew the answer.
Absolutely.
I knew the answer. Oh my god, we're crazy. Like, we're literally the most.
I feel like I'm very easy to work with.
You're very chill. You literally just send me like the pictures of Sailor Moon and say, go nuts.
I'm like, just make actually, me look pretty.
And I wanted to ask you about that. So when it comes to a place of inspiration for your designs, I know in the wheelhouse there is anime. There's certain street culture. Can you kind of tell the listeners where you draw, like you stem lots of your inspiration from?
Oh God, my art pop could mean anything.
Right? Right?
I draw a lot of it. I mean, it depends on, again, the context of what I'm designing for. When it's my own line, a lot of what I design for is inspired by my personal life and what I'm going through at the time. I like to think of my collections almost as like, what do you call those things? You put like objects into them, and then you dig the box in the ground, and then you open
capsule.
It. Like,
time capsule.
Yeah. I think if my collection's almost as like a time capsule, and I can look at a collection and go, those were my traumas of the day.
It's almost like journal entries in the time capsule. It's like where you're at in that moment. Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely. Whereas like, you know, if I'm doing a custom piece for a drag queen, obviously I'm not going to be like, hey, my dad had cancer and I really want to make a gown inspired by that.
Oh my God. Just like such a mood, like downer. Yeah. It's like, okay, well, this is for DragCon pink carpet, so I'm making like a little happier.
Yeah. So, you know, very collaborative with the queen. Like, I always really like working with you, Juice, specifically, because I feel like we share a lot of interests in common, like anime and gaming. And those are all things that I find really inspiring. And working with Isis specifically as well, we share a lot of common interests and a lot of, you know, when we're sending mood boards back and forth to each other when we're about to start a look, they're usually pretty similar. So, cool. Yeah.
I love that. No, you, both names you just mentioned, there's like a harmony for different ways. I feel like with mm-hmm. Juice, you can go a bit more like kawaii and like cuter, a little like bubbly. And then with Isis, it's like that, like almost darker, like mm-hmm. stealth fashion girl. It's mm-hmm. it's really exciting. I think that last piece you did for her for DragCon LA, it was a really interesting color palette for you. Like it still had that edge to it, but there was there coral and like teal in there? Like it had everything.
It was a purple and green shift silk taffeta. Mm. And it was an ombre orange and neon green tulle with like eggplant like purple coral and coral catsuit. Like it was, she really pushed me out of my comfort zone with that one. So.
It was Isis. But it's cool. This was her pink. Was mm-hmm. this the DragCon?
Yeah. Oh, she looked so cool.
Yeah, I see it.
Okay, so speaking of the queens you have already worked with, aside from RuPaul, are there any drag queens that are on the bucket list to dress, to design for?
Oh, top of my head, Tace Aquaria, like, would die.
Would die.
Aquaria, I could see. 100%.
I've tried so many times. I've slipped and slided into those DMs. It is like the water slides in there being like, hey, girl, if you ever need a look. And then she's like, I'm wearing Gautier. So.
I feel like Tace would be down. I feel like Tace like experiments with some of their look. Like I feel like they're always collaborating with designers.
Absolutely.
Tace, if you're listening.
Tace is an avid listener. Yeah.
This we know.
Yeah, Tace
really
is always
good picks.
Yeah, I love that. So this is something that I think we've been really interested about because you've been kind of around for a hot minute. It's not like you've just been kind of like doing this for just like a few, like 1 or 2 years. You've been around for a while. So what would you say is really the secret to the longevity in the fashion industry?
Delusion.
Oh, work. That's drag.
Yeah.
That's drag.
Like, honestly, like every day I wake up and tell myself, this is my job. Like, this is my, like, I've dreamed of doing this since I was a kid. And like, nothing is going to stop me from doing it. Mm. And like, my extreme poverty, my mental illness, like, it's on. So delusion.
Because I know Evan on like a personal level. Sometimes I hear the workload and I'm just like, she don't love herself. That is like back breaking, like the workload. Because you construct a lot of these garments yourself, right? Like there's one thing to design a look, and then there's another to labor intensively, stitch by stitch, stone by stone, make the damn thing. You still construct quite a bit yourself.
Yeah, I make 95% of what I make. Like, there are some things that I send out to other people. Like, I try not to do much of my stoning anymore because my back is, I'm old. So I do send out some of my stoning. But yeah, like everything, pattern drafting, designing, sketching, sewing, cutting, it's all these two hands, baby.
Mm-hmm. The last thing you made for me was a corset with tiny little mirror pieces all over it that you had individually sewn each one on throughout the whole thing. And as soon as I got it, my husband went, did he do all that? And I went, yes. And that's why it was so expensive.
And then I felt bad because I said to Tina, I was like, can you please take the plastic film off of all of the mirror pieces? I don't want to do it before I send it.
Me sitting, I was literally, and this was for the, this was the outfit that I wore for the reunion special for Canada's Drag Race season one. And it's me driving into Toronto the morning of the special, peeling one by one, each of them off in the car. And I'm just like, the whole car is filled with these little plastic pieces for me taking the film off. My husband was just like, it's beautiful, but I'm going to fucking kill you if you do not.
Oh, I didn't know that they come with like a protective, film.
But if he would have sent it, it would have scratched, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's why Evan couldn't do it.
No.
Yeah.
No, it was fine. It was fine.
No, that's so cool. I want to work with those mirrored pieces. So fabulous.
They're a lot of fun. Yeah.
No, seriously. Okay. So the fashion industry is notoriously cutthroat and intense. Do you have any nightmare moments over the years where you've just been like, how is this my life? Like, what is happening right now? From like a weird style pull or like a fashion crime? Like, is there anything that pops into your head when you think of this illustrious career of yours, my love?
Yes, I can think of a few things that have happened to me in my illustrious career that have
dish.
Gone
we want to hear it. I want to hear it. Trauma porn. Let's go.
Before we go into that, though, I do want to say that other than these like few experiences that are negative, my personal experience in the fashion industry has been extremely positive. Very lucky the last, I'd say, 3 months or so to get to meet a lot of other designers that I've built a friendship and a connection with online, and getting to meet them in person. And, you know, it's like, I got to meet Diana from Starker's Corsetry last week, and like, is a literal angel.
The sweetest little baby. Just so sweet. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, Suki Doll, and I like, there's so many designers that I've gotten to meet that I feel very lucky to call friends now, and build sort of a creative community with. So I won't be talking shit about other designers.
Oh, good. Oh, we didn't want that.
Oh, I kind of did.
But things that have happened to you, babe, like, have there been those moments, or is that part of it? Like, I guess, because there's a competitive side, right? So it's like, kind of
no.
Okay, cool. I didn't know if that's what you're implying, but like, but tell me, have there been moments where you're like, OMG, what is my life?
Yeah. Okay, so let's take it back to February 2021 when I shot the campaign for Inferno, which was my last collection that I showed at the Vancouver Art Gallery on September 24th of 2022.
Absolutely fabulous.
And I shot the campaign because at the time we were still in the deep depths of the pandemic, Lovato. And there was no plan to show the collection physically. So I was going to do these monthly releases or whatever the plan was. I was going to release it online.
Like digitally.
Yeah. And this stylist reached out that I'd been targeting this stylist because I wanted to work with him because he was working with Nicki Minaj, and he was kind of like more in that rap game, which I felt like my pieces were being pulled for more. So I was like, okay, well, this is a stylist that has some pull in this area. I'm going to target him. So I send a lookbook. I'm like, if you have any projects coming up, I would love to be involved. These are my pieces. Great. And he gets back to me right away, and he's very complimentary. He's very excited about the work that I'm showing. And he is like, I'm styling Cardi B. Would you like to dress Cardi B? And I was like, yeah, please.
Yeah, that'd be great, I guess. Like,
that's fine.
Sure.
So I send all of these pieces to New York, and it had been about a week or two, and I email him, and I'm like, hey, just wanted to check in. Like, if they were used, great. If they weren't used, all good. Please just send them back to me when you can. And he's like, oh, yeah, I actually have another gig. We didn't use it for Cardi, but I'm dressing Coi Leray for the BET Awards. Would you like to do, like, can I use one of these pieces for, like, one of her package for the BET Awards? And at the time, like, Coi Leray was still very new. Like, Players hadn't come out yet. Like, I think she had a couple, like, viral TikTok moments, but that was about it. So I had no idea who she was. And I was like, oh, okay, whatever. That's cool. So he also commissioned me to make a matching piece for her date for the night. So I sketched
that's
this piece
cute.
Up.
That's cute. Something kind of matchy-matchy. I love that.
Yeah. So it was that black leather corset with the silver flames all over it. And so Star I was love. Making a matching coat for her date. So I send a sketch. I start working on it. Everything gets approved. I send a progress update. And he's like, freaking out. He's like, oh my god, I can't believe that this is what you made. This looks nothing like the sketch. And I'm looking at the sketch, and I'm looking at the picture they sent, and I'm like, they are exactly the same. So I was a little confused. The next day, my
red
mom
flag
calls
number
me.
One.
Yeah, well, there are many, and like blind. So
right.
The next day, my mom calls me and she tells me she has cancer. So I was like, oh, fuck.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So personal life at the same time as professional life. Yeah. Rocky.
So I call him. I'm like, hey, my mom's really sick. I'm going home. I'm going to be taking care of her for a while. I can't do this. So I refunded him, like, his deposit and all that. He's like, oh, my God. Great. All good.
That's good.
BET Awards. So Coy wears the look to the BET Awards, but not on the carpet. It was her audience look. So they're like, there's two like really bad Getty images of her wearing it, which I was annoyed by. And I, at this point, I'm like at home taking care of my mom and, you know, making sure all is good on the home front. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, I kind of dropped everything. And part of this story is on me for dropping it, but I was, you know, my mind was in other places.
That's fair.
And
of course
it had been a couple weeks and I message him back and I say, hey, like, I'm going to be back in Vancouver soon. Can you ship everything back to Vancouver? And he says, yeah, absolutely. I need to get the piece that Coy wore from Coy's team because they have it. And I'm like, okay, well, you just let me know when that happens. Mm-hmm. And it just never happened. So I had been, I would be like emailing him, DMing him, texting him, calling him, leaving voicemails like a psychopath for weeks, being like, hey, babe, where's my stuff? Hey, babe, where's my stuff? Hey, babe, mm-hmm. where's my stuff? Mm-hmm. And he is like, I don't have any of it. It's all in a storage locker in Portland. And I'm like, what the fuck is it doing in Portland? I sent mm-hmm. it to New York. Mm-hmm. Luckily, at around that time, my friend Alona had a gig in Portland. And mm-hmm. so I texted her and I was like, please, can you meet up with this guy and can you get my stuff back? And she's like, yeah, sure. Great. So
is this like Alona of season one of Canada's Drag Race fame, Verley?
Yes.
Ah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So she is in Portland. He's not in Portland, but his mom is. So his mom brings this bag full of stuff.
Alona and the stylist's mom. You can't get more removed than that. Like, it's so not the two of you at that point.
Yeah. And so Alona gets the bag. And of course, Alona doesn't know what she's supposed to be looking for. So she just gets the bag and she's like, thank you. And some weird stuff happened between Alona and the stylist that I'm not going to get into because it's kind of...
We'll bring her on the pod.
Well, I don't know if it's really appropriate to discuss, but it wasn't great, and I called him out on it.
We'll talk about that off camera.
So it was already the drop off of the pieces was already super aco taco for a magnitude of reasons.
Okay. So Alona brings the bag to me a couple days later when she's back in Vancouver. I open the bag; half the pieces are missing. The pieces that are there, they like reek like cigarette smoke. They are all like dirty and stained and disgusting. At this point, it's been so long that I am actively promoting the show that these pieces are supposed to be in.
Right. So, they're supposed to walk in that show. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
And at this point, it's like maybe a month out before the show happens. Oh, no. So I had to remake all of them on top of this. It was three looks.
Shit. Yeah.
So I had to remake three looks on top of finishing. I've been waiting for the soundboard.
Girl, I was trying to slip it in. I didn't want to interrupt. But that was a Nor kind of moment. Fuck. Okay. And
that whole story is waiting for the Wii music.
Can I be gauche and ask for that kind of style pull? Is there a rental fee or are you doing all of this for the exposure? It's all out of pocket on Evan Clayton Designs. Like, how is this working financially for you?
It's all out of pocket.
That's what I was thinking. Like, that's so, oh my God.
Or any celebrity thing that I have done, I have never been paid for and I have covered shipping.
You've had to cover the shipping?
Mm-hmm.
Celebrities.
See, that's,
they're just like us, cheap.
It's fucking cheap.
So I've learned my lessons, and now I'm picky about what celebrity stuff I take, and I vet my stylist very heavily because of
get it, girl.
He's a very big fan of the pod, so that's gonna be awkward.
Yes.
You're listening.
Yeah,
listening. Anthony.
Yeah.
Anthony. Oh, he makes that part echo and as loud as he can. Oh my god, that sucks. That's fucked, dude.
Yeah.
Well, but everything worked out in the end.
Yeah.
Well, no, he had to work. Evan had to work double time.
But I mean, like, for the show.
Yeah, everything, like, a positive I can take from this experience is every time I make something, I learn from that piece. And so the new pieces were much better than the old pieces.
Oh, got it. Silver lining.
Yes.
Silver lining.
It's Virgo season, and I'm fighting the retrograde, so I'm just trying to find positivity in everything.
I love it.
Thank
delusional
you. Yeah, I'm just riding that delusional wave.
Okay. Another thing that I had on the list of questions for you, Evan, I wanted to talk about your scandal with the AliExpress design that knocked off your Shea Coulee / Kendall Jenner roast dress. It was like the green leopard print.
Yeah.
You one day see online that someone has completely knocked off this dress. Like, what, like, when does something go from being inspiration to just flat out piracy in your eyes, like in this age we live in now?
Well, I mean,
can you do anything about that? Like, when you see that dress online, right?
No, I bought it.
You supported that?
Was it good?
I needed to know.
of course. Okay, so tell me.
It was horrible. It was one of the like so I teach at the fashion college I went to, and like my first term students would do a better job sewing this than they did.
So poor construction, kind of like
poor construction, odd fabric choice, which actually when I made that look, I make it out of Italian 19 mummy silk charmeuse with a custom made print that I made. And they made it out of this weird like velour.
And it sucked because it stole your idea.
I was honestly really flattered.
It is kind of cute, right? Like that idea of being like, okay, this is broke through the noise to the point where this wholesaler is like, this is trendy, this is going to be a look that other people will wear.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no credit. There's no credit.
No.
And like, who knows how much that dress made for them. It's frustrating in my eyes when like people can just flat out pluck a concept, and because they know how to make it offsite on their own, there's no need to credit. Like, I think we live in a really scary world when it comes to intellectual property and fashion. Mm-hmm. Like,
but there's an opportunity there for something like that, because then you can kind of post about it on all of your socials, create a bit of a storm, and then people, you kind of get in people's faces, and it kind of creates content.
Which I did.
You should have made a TikTok. Did you make a TikTok?
No, I'm really bad at TikTok. I'm
not
a TikTok girly.
You should have made a TikTok. Millions of views. Millions.
Millions.
And it's never too late.
I cracked my 30K views, which is the most I've gotten.
Yay! So. Mild applause.
Yay! Great.
No, TikToks are hard. TikToks are hard. Mm-hmm.
TikToks are hard.
That's a cool subject, though, at any time. Like, the moment hasn't passed. I feel like that happened
to you. Maybe
I'll
bring her out.
Like, literally.
Be like, story time about when one of my original designs was stolen from AliExpress. And then you could create
this. That's actually a really good idea.
Get ready with me while I tell you how AliExpress stole from me.
Oh, yeah. Or you could be, like, sewing or, like, cutting things. And they could just listen.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm saving that look because I wanted to wear it for Halloween and be Kendall for Halloween. But it does not fit me. So,
I mean, you can just, like, I don't know. Can you adjust it? You're a designer.
Wear it open
in the back. Do it like a style, like a shoot where it's like you can't see the back. Just take the photo.
Okay, this is really depressing.
Uh-oh.
The chaps are, so it's literally just a belt. The belt does not even wrap around my waist. So.
Well, all bodies are beautiful. It's too small. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that's bullshit. Is it because there's no stretch or there's no closure? Like, I can't remember the look completely offhand. It's like a stirrup
of
sort, you're saying?
The belt doesn't have any stretch, but everything else does. It's like they put a literal piece of plastic inside the belt. It's really strange. Yeah.
Okay.
I say you should just switch out the belt so it fits and wear it still.
Maybe I will.
Look at you, Virgo season.
Virgo seasoning, just problem I'm thriving, solving. I'm problem solving, I'm creating graphs.
You like that?
So if there's anybody out there flirting with the idea of fashion design or create a freelance career, what advice would you give them? Just very candidly, if I were to walk up to you. Don't.
Evan, what if it's their dream, like us?
No. Okay. So like I mentioned before, I teach at the fashion college that I went to, and this is actually like a subject that I talk about quite a lot with my students, especially because, you know, the classes that I teach are later in their time in the program. It's when they're working on their collections. And a lot of them are kind of seeing the light at the end of the tunnel for their time in school. And they're like, well, I don't really know what to do next. And I always tell them, you know, no one knows who you are. And no one is actively trying to find out who you are. You have to do the work in letting people know exactly who you are. Like, there's not a single stylist on this planet that is sitting at home with their thumbs up their asses going, who's a big designer in Vancouver? You have to find out who they are and contact them if that's what you want to do. If you want to work in corporate design, you need to find out who is in charge of corporate design and contact them. If you want to work in film, contact costume designers. Like, I find a lot of people these days that want to enter the fashion industry think that it is this extremely glamorous, almost easy job in a lot of facets, and it's not. It's a nobody wants to work these days.
Nobody wants to work.
Nope.
It's so true, though. And I think because that's that tension between desire and actual action is what you're talking about. The reaching out, the quote unquote networking to get working. It's cheesy and cliche, but it actually, in both of our careers, all three of our careers, I should say, it's because we reach out to people, we cold call, we keep building connections, and we're professional when you get the gig. You can get a call back if you're actually good at what you do. You know, be back it up. Walk the walk, talk the talk. So I love that advice, though. So putting yourself out there, making sure you're visible, whether that be through socials or, you know, events or, you know, in person. That's really cool. I like that advice. And I forgot for a second as we were interviewing, you work with students all the time. They're so bright-eyed, bushy-eyed, ready for the fashion industry, but they don't know what to do.
Not jaded.
They don't know what to do.
Sometimes I feel bad because I'm very jaded and I'm like, oh, they're so fresh. They're so excited. And I'm like,
just
the
wait.
World is shit.
Yes, you
stylists
wait.
Are shit.
Yeah.
It's going to fuck you over.
It's going to get you. It's going to get you.
Drag queens are going to offer you $200 to construct a full corset covered in diamonds. And they're going to say, I only have a budget of $300.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's the other thing. I guess that's the other advice I would give is, like, know your worth and stick to it. There's a reason why whenever I hear my name on this podcast, it's my extremely expensive Evan Clayton garments.
They're very expensive, but they are worth it. They're very expensive, but they are worth it.
If I ever bring you up, babe, I'm going to go, the very affordably well-crafted... Worth
Listen.
Every moment.
They're worth it because you're paying for quality. If it was cheap, I would say it was cheap.
Thank you.
Ooh, that's better. Exactly.
That.
Right?
Yeah.
You don't want to be called cheap.
Why would I say that the cheap, you know, garbage, you know, outfit? I would say if I'm saying I paid a lot of money for something, I want it to look like I paid a lot of money for something. And those look like I paid a lot of money. You know, especially
you look great in those pieces.
Thank you. And especially anytime you get to see you on the runway, you do have a very like a distinct sense of style. So like I feel like me and Cynthia at least can really pinpoint them or see those aspects. Be like, oh, that's 100% something Evan did. And you can tell like a lot of care went into those garments.
It was Lux on the last season, Lux Noir, when I was looking at that piece. We didn't even know it was by you. And in my head, I was like, this looks like an Evan piece. And then it was actually Juice who knew. And immediately I was like, it clicks. And it's so cool when I can see in your career now you have a signature. You have a DNA when it comes to your design, which I think doesn't happen overnight. That takes years of like fostering a key silhouette, a type of, you know, stitch work, patterning, mm-hmm. like, because you are physically creating these all yourself, you should be very proud of the fact that, like, there is an essence of your designs that kind of carries through. There's a through line here. And that's very hard to do, SQQs. So.
And I feel like that's something I've only really discovered and leaned into in the last couple of years.
Makes sense.
I feel like I spent the first part of my career, like, I think of my career in two parts. I think of pre-pandemic and post-pandemic. And I think my career pre-pandemic was throwing shit against the wall and seeing what stuck. And I think post-pandemic Evan Clayton is confident, more confident.
Hell yes.
Grizzled. Mature.
Oh. Weathered. No, I'm just kidding.
Weathered.
Jaded.
Yeah.
I love that. Do you have anything exciting coming up at all? Anything that you want to promote?
I mean, I'm starting to work on my next collection. I don't know when I'm going to put it out. The thing with, like, doing drag and doing Drag Race as much as I get to do, it kind of does put a lot of personal projects on the back burner.
Of course.
So, and, you know, the rumor mill just swirls all the time. And it's always like, oh, there's a new season coming out soon. Ooh, there's a new Versus the World coming out soon. Ooh, there's a new All-Stars coming out soon. And I'm like, don't tell me these things until you're on the show.
Yes. And SQ Cuties, you have to understand, it's one thing to be a drag queen rumored about the show. For Evan, you work with so many queens that if there's a rumored show, you're probably thinking, okay, when do I have to block out this time in my calendar? Because the turnarounds for these, the queens get the calls, and it's not a lot of time to perfect couture level looks. At this point, the standards on the show are so high, yet you only still have the same amount of timeline. It's probably very stressful for you when you talk about hearing the rumors of upcoming seasons. I can only imagine.
Very much. And so I think back to, I think it was 2022 when I did Canada season 3, Canada versus the World season 15, all back to back. So from January to essentially June, just doing Drag Race with no break between seasons. And then poor Jimbo. Not poor Jimbo, extremely rich Jimbo. DMing me at the end of my season 15 stuff with Lux, being like, hey, All-Stars is happening and I'm on it. Do you want me to do some Lux? And I was like, no, please. I can't do this anymore. So.
Everyone deserves a break. Each queen's prepping. It's like, in their eyes, it's like, don't you have the energy for this? But it's a quality control thing, right? Like, if you push yourself too far, you're like, you know, you don't want the work, you don't want that to show in the work. Yeah, I can only imagine.
Yeah, and like, you know, like season 3, I think I did 5 looks. First the World, I did 3 looks. Lux, I did 1 look, and it was just like my energy level just kept. I couldn't do it anymore.
Know thyself. Damn.
And that's something that you said to me that I really appreciated at Pride last year, when you were like, why aren't we doing something together? And then you immediately were like, oh, because you've set personal boundaries for yourself. Yeah. And I was like, yes, I have.
Literally.
I remember seeing that post.
I understand that. Yeah. I understand it. It's like, it comes to that point where now I think, again, we have this drag industry where there's wig stylists, there's other designers where I always like to check in and make sure that they're not facing burnout, because I feel like every creative has that point. Maybe it's the first year or two where it's like getting myself out there. You know, we were talking about the students in your class. It's getting visible, being visible, breaking through the noise. But then how quickly does that become burnout? It's this tricky line you have to toe in creative fields, because it takes more out of you. Like, if it's your passion, you're going to spend your whole night up, you know, creating these things. And it's before you know it, like, you're just not living a healthy life. So I really do push for boundaries too. If someone says that to me, I completely understand. I'm just pissed behind their back. No, I'm just kidding.
I love a boundary. Boundaries get me excited. If someone's just like, no, I can't because I just need my mental health, I'm like, oh, yeah. And then I'll find somebody else.
A weird fetish with boundaries.
For me, because it's not like they don't want to work with you because they hate you. They don't want to work with you because they will literally go crazy because 100%. They just, you've overworked. So for me, it's just like, it's better because I've worked with so many people where they take me on they didn't have the time, they didn't have the mm-hmm. mental capacity, and they didn't have the ability to do it. And then I end up fucked over in the long run. Right.
I'm just gonna
and
say.
That's a really hard lesson to learn as a designer, because I've mm-hmm. definitely been there where I've taken way too season two, where I took way too much, and I suffer and the queen suffers. And I don't want that anymore. I want to only be putting out really good work. And so because of that, I would like to publicly apologize to you, Juice, for not being able to do your direct upload last year.
That's fine.
It's actually why we brought you on the show today.
We wanted to, this is actually an intervention. But all you, but I remember at that time you had just said, you were like, I'm just too overworked, I can't do it. And but I had enough time to be able to create something else. You mm-hmm. know, it was fine. But yeah, you're good.
Don't worry, baby. But I want to shift back to this future collection of yours. Can you tell us anything about it as far as like how you're feeling right now? Like what's inspiring you for this new collection? Because it is kind of a reflection of where you're at. Are things a little more?
Yeah. Lifting? I mean, I feel like
what are the words to describe it? I want a little teaser.
Ooh, woo.
I feel like.
Ooh, woo. I feel like... ooh, woo. Oh my God. Can it be ooh, woo?
Ooh, woo? I feel like my last collection was very doom and gloom, and I don't always want to be doom and gloom. But we live in a world that is doom and gloom sometimes, especially for queer people and mm-hmm. especially for trans people. And so my next collection, I really want to be a love letter to the trans doom community and gloom. For... Oh. You know,
a love letter to
these people that have like inspired me so much and taught me so much. We have an incredible trans community here in Vancouver mm-hmm. that I have so much love and respect for. And I want to, you know, for as much as the world is shitting on trans people right now, I want to be able to say there are people that have your back and that we love you and we support you and we respect you. And so that's really where my mind is going. And so I've created this story in my head. And that's what I want to show through clothes. And it's going to be very, how can I describe it? Like if 1990s era comic and film Batman had a baby with Daphne Guinness and Isabella Blow, but she was a trans diva who is also 75 years old.
Oh my God. Shine. Damn.
I'm gonna be trying to put that together all day. Just
I love the images that are just popping into my head. Well, we are so excited to see when this comes out. But
me too. Who knows?
Yeah, you're like, same, whatever that might be.
But Cynthia, I still have time to get down to a sample size once they're finished. Very exciting. Very exciting.
Ooh, okay.
He finishes and I'm like, I'll take that one and that one.
And that one. Not enough mirrors on that one.
Leave the plastic on.
Yeah, leave it.
So expensive. I just can't afford that.
I have money trauma. Okay, leave me alone.
Me too.
So to kind of like wrap things up, we usually like to do our lightning round, just to kind of keep things like light and airy. Sorry, I forgot what it was fucking called for a second there. But are you cool with that?
I'm so excited.
Yeah? Okay.
Okay, cute. Okay. Latex or lace for the rest of your design life?
Lace. 100 OP.
Sweet or spicy foods?
Sweet.
Okay. Canada's Drag Race or Canada versus the World?
Canada's Drag Race.
Project Runway or Making the Cut?
I didn't watch Making the Cut.
You didn't?
No.
They win so much money.
I have a lot of familial trauma about reality sewing competition. So my cousin was actually on the second season of Project Runway Canada. Mm. And it was not the most positive experience for her. So, yeah.
I remember that. I remember that.
I have one more. It just came into my mind. Reality TV contestant or reality TV judge?
Judge.
Hey.
We're judging so fierce was so fun.
Yes. Oh, totally. You were great on that show.
Thank you.
I wanted you to be in person. I wanted you to be in person, though.
Same. I mean, maybe one day, but, you know, we'll see.
Okay. Cute.
Yeah. The number of times that, like, prospective students will walk into my classroom and their parents are like, I watched you on a flight.
So cute. I watched you when I was forced to sit down and had nothing else to watch. No,
I watched you fly.
And now your kids are.
No, that show was really well done. I wanted Diana to win. I was rooting for her the whole time.
I liked all of them. They were all incredible. I mean, the top three of the season were the top three that I picked for my week. So
you can pick them.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Watch out. Don't you touch these people. Don't you touch these talented designers. Get your paws off of them.
Yeah. And like, oh, Benjamin Toner. That's another designer that I forgot to mention that I've met recently that I adore. Like, he's so fun. So cool.
Very, very talented. Yeah.
We should tag all these designers in the show notes of this episode so that Queen can see. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So or maybe just you. Maybe we'll make it all just about you, though.
Yeah, I was like, okay. It is kind of. Yeah.
I love that. Well, we are so excited to see this future collection whenever it comes out, and for having you on the show today. It's literally such a treat. We're going to be saving up all of our tips to be able to afford new Evan Queen looks one day soon.
I'm handing you sweaty fives and a sweat.
Please sew for me.
The sweater they are, the more discount you get.
Yay! thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I listen to the podcast all the time, so this is like so fun for me.
Oh, good. We're so
happy. Are you going to listen to this episode while you're sewing or something?
Absolutely.
Say a message to future. Say something to future Evan so you can hear it on the pod.
Future Evan. Oh, wait. When is this coming up?
Very soon. Very soon.
Like a couple weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Future Evan, you're probably working on a look for a Canadian drag diva that I don't know if I can say the name for. Remember that you need to buy foam because you ran out of foam and you need it for this look.
That is amazing. Evan, you're an icon. Thank you for listening to all our episodes and now finally being a guest. We did it. It happened. Yay.
We did it.
All right. Until next time, my love. Mwah. Oh, what a talented fella. We love Evan.
So sweet. I was saying that I was saying to you earlier that I feel like this is going to be a very ASMR kind of pod because Evan's very just like soft spoken and very just like, and then this happened. And then this.
I have never heard him yell. I don't think I can picture it. Like if he gets stung by a bee, what does he sound like? He would just go, ow, that really hurt.
Oh, that wasn't great.
But we love Evan. We love him so much.
I think the loudest he got. Yes, but I think the loudest he got is when he turned to the camera and said, that was like the loudest I heard.
Truly, that was the loudest I have ever heard Evan Clayton go. This is what happens when you fuck with his designs. Don't mess with his creations. Those are his
But yeah, great interview. Super, super happy to have him on and very exciting. But okay, so actually before we leave, we do have another voice note. This one's from Rodri Evans. Shall we give it a listen?
Absolutely.
Hey, Juice and Cynthia. My name's Rodri. I'm actually really nervous recording this because I've never like done this before. But I wanted to ask a question for you both, if you don't mind hearing it. So, does Drag Race feel like more of a job than an actual, like, enjoyable experience, basically? Because you have the pod now, does it feel like more of a job? Does it feel like a chore to get through, especially with All Stars 8? I know you were both not enjoying it as much, so I just wanted to know if you both were like enjoying the show or not. Like maybe you watch seasons outside of the pod or something. I don't know, but it's just an idea. Well, it's not an idea. Anyways, I love you both. I love both of your works. I love both of your looks. I love both of your styles in drag. And I just love both of your drag. And yeah, I hope you get to hear this and play it on the pod. Okay, bye.
That was precious.
Aww. Thank you, Rodri. That's so cool of you to call in. You did great. Nothing to be nervous of. We want you to be a repeat caller-inner. That was awesome. What did you think of the question? Really cool.
I mean, I feel like Rodri has a point. I feel like you and I were hitting burnout. And this sort of goes to what we were talking to Evan about, is like sometimes we can hit a wall. And I felt like you and I were watching back-to-back Drag Races. We were reviewing episodes. We were doing it every single week. And I think like for just you and I, we were kind of just like tired of the monotony of seeing the same kind of thing over and over, the same sort of looks over and over with very little that was sort of exciting us. So I think that's why we jumped into the interview series. I wouldn't say it feels... Watching Drag Race does feel like work sometimes. I will say that.
Because we've turned it into work. Like we, I think it's the two sides of the coin, having the podcast where sometimes we speak about all things drag, right? Like it's so fun, but to have regular programming, you can't just sit back and relax and kind of, you know, sometimes when you watch television, it's to unwind. Whereas Juicebox and I, when we're watching these episodes, we're actually kind of dialing in. I'm note-taking. Yeah. I'm prepping for an episode of a podcast. So it's almost extra work, but we do it for the SQ Cuties. So there's parts of me, I would never want to take away the podcast. Like if someone were to say like, you can watch Drag Race, but then you don't have a podcast, I'd be really upset. Like I'd rather have a podcast. Anytime I meet I'd any of the not, listeners, yeah. when we meet any of the SQ Cuties out in the world, when we're touring, we're traveling, it just, it warms my heart. Like I think it's one of my favorite things that I do. And, you know, Juice and I get to check in weekly with this show. So the regular programming of Drag Race keeps us kind of accountable on some levels, but we do know what you mean, Rodri. Do you think from like a higher level, was he asking just about watching Drag Race, or does he mean like drag in general? Because drag in general.
No, I think Rodri meant like the watching Drag Race.
Got
like,
it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He heard it in our voices.
Yeah, he could hear us. Well, we were both hitting a major burnout. I remember totally. I hit my wall during All Stars, All Winners. That's when I was like, I'm fucking done. Like, I was just like, I can't fucking stand this anymore. I don't want to talk about it anymore. I'm going crazy. And then I think you hit it on this last season.
Yeah. It was mid All-Stars 8 where I was just like, I just know how it's going to wrap. And I'm so excited for that because we love Jimbo. But then it was this like just suspended amount of time, you know?
But I just felt like it never ended.
But yeah. We appreciate the support and we love that. Because that's the thing about these episodes. Sometimes it's less about the recap and it's more just like about our tangents.
Yes. Yes. And I find the episodes are like a nice catalyst for those things. But
good word.
Thank you. Catalyst. Good word. But we will be doing the next season of Canada. 100%.
Oh, my God. Of course. Canadian Alliance.
Yeah, Legions. we have to be doing any kind of Canadian content that comes out. We will be reviewing. And we hope that you guys liked the post show interviews that we got to do last year. We're really hoping to be able to do that again this year. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, Canada's Drag Race, if you're listening. So, yeah.
So fun.
Where can they find us on socials?
Where can they find us on socials? Amazing question. On Instagram. Our handle is Semi-Qualified Queens Pod. On Twitter, it's at SQQ Pod. Use the hashtag Semi-Qualified Queens Questions. If you want to email us, you can do so at semiqualifiedqueenspod@gmail.com.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. We love this interview series so much. It's one of our favorite things to do right now. So let us know who you guys want to see on the episode. We've been totally seeing your comments. We saw people want Yuri Guy. They want Sasha Colby. Those are definitely people that we'll reach out to. And if they say yes, then maybe you guys will hear them on the pod. But for now, thank you guys so much. And we will see you next time.
Bye.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.
Sonar.